Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Metal! The Fan Metal! And the Rangers have one more hell to climb, baby! But it's Smoke Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the finals!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, inside the 1 a.m. hour on The Fan in New York, Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. The last hour of another 5-hour KM to AM, 888-808-1019. I'm not wasting any time because this time's going to burn on me and then it's going to be like, I'm be trying to get words in and get out of here. Ray in Brooklyn, back on The Fan. Where you been, Ray?
Yo, what's up, my brother, Yankees royalty, man? I took a little hiatus because, like I told Al Centrone, who I hadn't spoken to for a while either. Unfortunately, like, real life happens and tragedy did strike, you know, my family and my friends. So I had to deal with
a little bit of real life.
But
understood.
I appreciate you, my brother. And you know what? I've been listening though, and especially yesterday. And Keith, I know that you don't need my help. But let me help you out with these Mets fans here, bro, because you know what? I've been going for a little minute. I've been dealing with real life, but I'm back with some vigor right now, man. So, listen, as far as these clown Mets organization and their fans, bro, and, you know, the fact that they don't like you being a Yankees fan on the radio, even though you're more fair and objective than any Met announcer on this station, and I'm saying that, and that's 1,000%, bro. So, and look, these guys... the Mets, right? We had to hear it all season long. We didn't do anything. The Yankees didn't do anything. We didn't win the World Series. We lost to the Dodgers. Yet these bums, these clowns, Keith, they're celebrating two World Series losing teams, bro. After they gave it to us all season about losing the World Series and how we accomplished nothing. And not only that, they're celebrating the World Series loss in 2000 to the Big Brother.
On opening day. They put the band back together. They had them throwing the first pitch. They were celebrating the pennant though, the NL pennant.
Yeah. I know the NL pennant. Like I guess it matters for them, but for little brothers, you know what I'm saying.
Is no banner in Yankee Stadium for the American League pennant that we just won, and I can guarantee you, in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. 20 years from now, Alex Verdugo and Anthony Rizzo and Juan Soto will not be invited back to Yankee Stadium to celebrate.
My G, you could not be more right. And let me say this about Juan Soto, right? Because I'm one of the guys that Al Cintron always acknowledges. I never wanted him back, you know. So, and I'm not even going to go into the reasons why. But so with the coping word doesn't fit with me, and I hate that word. It's a new word that Mets fans, you know, these illiterate fans actually learned this offseason, but Juan Soto has been coping with the loss of pinstripes, with the loss of having, you know, his big brother Aaron Judge batting behind him. He can't get out. You know how they say we always bring it up? No, we respond to them. You know what I'm saying? He can't get our you-know-what and Aaron Judge's you-know-what paws out of his mouth. And, you know, when Andy Martino say he misses the Yankees and Mets fans and some of the hosts on here push back, obviously, there's some truth to it because he just can't shut up about the pinstripes and Aaron Judge and Big Brother. So, Keith, I got your back all the time, bro. The last time we spoke, bro, it was about, you know, the one of the best Boricua human beings on planet Earth and ball players of all time, Bernie Williams, man. So we share that love. We share the Yankees love. And I appreciate you on these airways. Keep doing your thing. Don't listen to those clowns, bro. Just do you, bro.
Appreciate you, Ray. I don't listen to them. I just, I let them know that I see them. Listen, like, I read everything online. Like I said, I get a kick out of it. A lot of times I go back and forth with people and I regret going back and forth. I'm like, why did I stoop to their level? Because like, I'm a regular guy. Not long ago, that's the level I was on. I was just in the comments, replying, going back and forth. Nobody knew any different. But now when I see a whole comment section about me, I'm like, I gotta jump in. But it doesn't stop me. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't break my stride. Doesn't have me coming in here like second guessing my open, like, man, should I not talk about the Mets? No. I'm doing what the job requires. It's New York. It's New York sports. Somebody listening has no idea who I am. Somebody listening doesn't ever go on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, TikTok, YouTube. They're just enjoying a radio show. You know, some there are people that just enjoy my radio show. They don't look at my internet stuff at all. None of that matters. Just, I like the way the guy takes calls. I like the way the guy talks sports. So I appreciate the hate. There's a thin line between love and hate. And I know there's some Mets fans out there that, like, they hate me, but they wish I was a Mets fan. Like, I wish he was going this hard. The way he goes for the Yankees and the pinstripes and the bleacher creatures and the Bronx. Like, I wish we had a guy like that. You know? But This dynamic is amazing. It doesn't exist like this. Like, you know, the Mets about to go down to D.C. There's no rivalry like this between the Orioles and the Nationals. I've been to Chicago a bunch. There is a little crosstown cup and a crosstown rivalry between the Cubs and the White Sox, but not really. It's the Cubs, like, by a lot. And, you know, where else? L.A.? It's not even close. Like, Juan Soto goes from the Yankees to the Mets, and it has been World War III. Shohei Ohtani goes from the Dodgers, or from the Angels to the Dodgers, and the Angels fans wave, bye, Shohei, have a great time. We'll see you at Dodgers Stadium. Meanwhile, we cannot wait for the Subway Series so we can boo this man. F. Juan Soto is going to be loud, and there's nothing anyone can do to stop it. And it's great because it's harmless. It's all entertainment, it's fun, it's sports, it's banter, it's back and forth. And you know what? There's one team that everybody comes together. Not me, but there's one team that, like, you know, Subway Series last year, I left early because I had to get out of there and drive all the way back to the fan. That's another thing, too. I'm like, I hate driving all the way to Queens, even though it is, like, the same time. It's just a different route. All the way to Queens and then driving all the way back to the fan after a Subway Series game. I'm like, but I remember leaving, and the Mikal Bridges trade dropped. I remember sitting in my car out here at WFAN and getting the alert and being like, oh, fleeced them. But then I hear that there were chants of Let's Go Knicks at Citi Field after the Mets smacked the Yankees. Yankee fans and Mets fans celebrating the Mikal Bridges trade came together and chanted, Let's Go Knicks. Well, they better go. They better go tonight in Detroit for game 3. And it's been 6 years since the Detroit fans have had a playoff game for the Pistons. They had some success with the Tigers. They had a lot of success recently with the Lions, but they believe in Cade Cunningham. They believe in this team, and they believe that they can beat the Knicks. I don't believe it. I believe it when I see it. But I think you're going to see a different Knicks team and a different energy, and they have a better coach and they have better players. 888-808-1019. Speaking of the coach and the players, I was just chopping it up with Fleegs during the break, and I was looking at some of the stuff that was posted on SNY Knicks, and obviously the Knicks met the media yesterday. And they asked the same questions that you guys have been calling the fan, asking and talking about. And there's a couple that, you know, we want to play. First, you know, Tom Thibodeau was asked about Karl-Anthony Towns, right? Obviously, everybody, Karl-Anthony Towns. How come Karl-Anthony Towns didn't shoot a shot? How come he wasn't the second option to help Jalen Brunson? So Here's from the coach earlier today, his thoughts on what was going on and what happened at the end of game two with Karl-Anthony Towns.
There's been a lot of talk about whether Cat got enough shots and enough attempts in the second half. Do you need to make any sort of conscious effort to get him involved more?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, if they're going to commit to two and three people on him, I don't want him forcing shots. But there's things that he could do also, and we can do to get him a second and third look. So that's what we have to try to do. And then I think, you know, there's ways in transition that we can search him out as well.
I also feel like, you know, obviously, like, what do you want him to say after the fact? And also, you can't show your hand. You can't really give him too much or tell him too much before game three. We're essentially walking into a new series. It's 1-1. So now it's just like the first to win three games out of the next 3, 4, 5. 888-808-1019 as we are now talking a little bit more about the New York Knicks as we are now getting prepared for game three. The series is tied 1-1 and it shifts to Detroit, Motown, Little Caesars Arena. The game will be on TNT. And I don't know, I might be dead wrong. But after you watch the Knicks go out there, and I'm expecting a higher scoring game, you watch the Knicks go out there and beat them in the Garden in that first game, 123-112, and go on a 21-0 historical, magical, rare run, sparked by campaign, finished by Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. And then in the next game, you know, lightning doesn't strike twice. You can't catch lightning in a bottle again in the same way. And here's the head coach of the Knicks talking about game two and what we've all talked about with Mikal Bridges. So many of you want him to call timeout and get the whiteboard and say, all right, here, you here, inbound here. Do like. Here's what he said talking about, you know, looking back at the game and how it ended and how it finished, where Mikal Bridges was the one taking those shots in the fourth quarter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you guys need to send to it any more often? Is there something to do with
it? Well, I think when you look at it in totality, you know, the game is, you know, 97-94, and Mikal has an open three with 11 seconds to go. So, and he shot it great. It just didn't go in. It was a great play by Jalen to Mikal. Mikal did a great job moving without the ball. So, you know, if that shot goes in, we're probably not talking about all the other stuff, but that's playoff basketball. And then what do you learn from the game? And then how do you reset and get ready for the next one? And I think that all that stuff is important. So each game, take, you know, what happened in the previous game, study, and get ready for the next one.
This guy is a coach, man, and he's a better coach than J.B. Bickerstaff. I was a little disappointed in some of these Knicks fans that are already ready to fire this guy. I was also disappointed in the Knicks fans that were all ready to quit on Jalen Brunson. They watched the film. They're going to have a different strategy. They're going to deploy different rotation sets, different guys. They're going to throw different bodies at them. And I'll say this, 888-808-1019, before we bring in some more Knicks fans to talk Knicks heading into this game. Are you nervous? Are you confident? I mean, it's a new series, 1-1. Series doesn't start till home team loses. Okay, you lost a game on the Garden floor, which your coach just told you that game was 97-94. If Mikal hits that shot tied a game, like, I expect them to come out with a different energy as the visiting team, because they can't sit back and think, okay, we have the Garden on our side, we have the home court advantage, the fans behind us in the fourth quarter. They can't be trailing in the fourth quarter like that. They got to have a lead and battle back and forth and hold a lead. There's also a lot of conversation about the officiating, and that's going to be a thing. I mean, you can blame the refs for game two, and honestly, I think there's a lot that goes on, which I think, you know, Thibodeau was very critical of the officiating at the end of the game, game two, and I think that was strategic. I think that was a way to kind of, you know, alert the league and be like, hey, you know, we want the same calls for Jalen Brunson, who everybody's saying, oh, he's flopping. I'm like, he's flopping, but it's not a flop, right? It is a flop, but it's like, it's a flop to get their attention. It's a flop to be like, hey, it's contact. Hey, call a foul. So expect to see that early. Expect to see the Knicks have some different, like, you can experiment early in the game. When you get into crunch time, you get into winning time, you need your best players on the floor. Will he glue Mikal Bridges to the bench? I don't know. It depends on what kind of night Mikal Bridges is having. Will campaign get a little bit more run? How will they play Mitchell Robinson? The rebounding is so important. The rebounding is going to be a major key. It can't be just Mitch. Josh Hart's got to get in there. Carl Anthony Towns got to get in there. So it's going to be a good watch. It's going to be a good matchup in Detroit. It's going to be just like good playoff basketball at a level that it should be. Between a upstart young team, and they're not really young, but like, you know, young star mixed with guys like Dennis Schroeder, Tobias Harris, Tim Hardaway Jr., Malik Beasley, Jalen Duren. I don't know if Isaiah Stewart is questionable or what he's going to be. I think he's going to probably go. But this is an important stretch here for the Knicks too, as I've talked about. Five games in Michigan, or 5 days in Michigan for these next couple. Like, you know, that's a long time to be there. You got to get one of these games, and I think it would behoove them to not go down in the series. I think if you want to keep the city at bay, if you want to keep the team in check a little bit, if you want to, you know, kind of calm down your own fan base and put your own fan base at a little bit of ease, winning this first game is crucial. Winning this first game in Detroit, rather, is crucial. 888-808-1019. I'll mix in some more things as I'm going back in my notes, you know, to find the officiating and some more details and some stuff about the Pistons. I've really been, you know, looking more at their angle. I've really been looking more at, like, you know, what their city feels like. And, like, they're going to have, you know, some of the Lions at the game and, they feel like it's Detroit versus everybody, and they feel like it's, you know, the new bad boys. And okay, let's see. Back to the phones we go. Again, it is New York. Again, the Yankees played and the Mets played early yesterday. They're both off tonight, but there's still plenty of conversations to be had around the Mets and the Yankees, and we'll continue to do that. We'll also continue to take your calls on the NFL draft. I haven't said a word about the Jets, and I will before I get out of here. I lean gangrene, and I kind of just like that, like, it's quiet around the Jets. Good, because they could potentially make the sexy pick, or they can make the quiet, solid pick and just go about their business and move right on. And I think they kind of want to fly under the radar, let it be all about the Giants and what the Giants are going to do. And, I mean, this is a new regime for the Jets. It should be a new regime for the Giants, but they stuck with those guys. So 888-808-1019 as we shift back to conversation around the New York Yankees. I am excited to go to the stadium. I'll be there Friday for the hockey jersey night, trying to finesse three or four jerseys. I just need two, or maybe three, or maybe four. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I know the gang, the creatures, watch. You're going to see people in Section 203 selling jerseys. You're going to see people in 203 with three or four jerseys. When they go up on eBay, I probably know a guy that knows a guy in the stadium that could get you one. Those are going to be a hot item. And I don't know what the giveaway is Saturday. I don't think there is a giveaway Saturday. But one of my boys is in town, and his dad is coming into town. So I will be at Yankee Stadium Friday night and then going home and going to sleep and waking up and doing that turnaround and going to Yankee Stadium Saturday. Hopefully the weather is good and hope to see you there. Let's go to Josh in Huntington on the Fan. What's up, Josh?
Hey, boss. How you doing?
I'm good. Allergies kind of creeping up on me. I always got that, but I'm handling it. I haven't sneezed. I haven't had to blow my nose on air, so we're good.
Yeah, I work outdoors all day cutting down trees, so I know you feel the pain.
Yeah, yeah. With the weather breaking a bit, that pollen and everything else is getting under me.
Hey, you know, can Aaron Boone really do something with Jazz Chisholm? Because he thinks he's like Aaron Judge, trying to hit home runs, and he's, you know, ended up being like Adam Dunn. You know, he's going to have, you know, 20 to 30 home runs, batting 150 with 250 strikeouts in a season. They need to either, you know, bat him second in front of Judge so he, you know, has good pitches to hit, or, you know, you're going to have to drop him down in the order and, you know, flying him or something if he tries to hit a home run, because it's just horrible.
Yeah, the thing with Jazz, and I said this earlier, I'll be ready to you know, blame Jazz and be mad at Jazz, and then he'll do something where I'm like, this guy's a good player. It's just too many different ways. It's like he'll do something to piss you off, and then he'll do something that helps the team. I don't think Aaron Boone can check him. Just from, like, when Aaron Boone was trying to, like, calm him down when he got ejected, Jazz, I like Jazz as a player, but I just think Jazz has a huge, like, ego and attitude. Some of it merited.
He's not a team player.
He's
doing right for the team.
Yeah, I think he's always in his head. He's always thinking about himself. He can't wait to get on the base pass. He wants to hit a home run so he could do his whole dance routine. So he could do his Kobe floater. So he could do his, you know, he could do his jump shot. He could do
his dazzle.
Yeah, his Euro step. But like, this is where I'm at with Jazz, man. Lock in, buy in, and the mental aspect of the game. What did Yogi Berra say? The game is 90% mental.
Mental, 10%.
Yeah, like, you got to be focused. Like, hit a sack fly like he did the other day.
Yeah.
Good. Situational
hitting. Just try to get hits first.
It doesn't, we don't need a home run. Even, like, look at Judge. Yeah. You just mentioned batting him in front of Judge. They're not going to bat him in front of Judge because, he's not going to get on base. But, like, look at Judge. Judge takes what they give him. Okay.
Unbelievable.
Like, he's ridiculous. He'll slap a single through. When he hit that ball today, I tweeted out cycle alert because it didn't go out and it was a triple. But I'm like, he's been a triple short of the cycle a couple times. Look at Judge. I think they all can look at Judge and follow the captain. And, like, he works counts.
Yeah.
And he always is fighting against the umps, too. They're calling strikes that are low on him.
Yeah, exactly. It's so horrible. I can't wait for the computers to come in and be automated on that.
I can't. ABS ASAP. But, yeah, as far as Jazz goes, I just need him to lock in, control his emotions, and be thinking about the game. What do we need here? Right? His first at-bat today was trash. He struck out on three pitches, and I'm like, bro, all we need you to do is put the bat to ball. Look at the first pitch.
Yeah.
Like, put the bat to the ball. If you hit a ground ball, run scores. If you put the ball in the air, run scores. I don't know. I just think Jazz is just he's a character, and sometimes the character is good. Sometimes the character is like, we don't need this right now.
Yeah, exactly. I think it would be a better fit on the Mets, but I think I got a hot take for Judge. I think he's going to go 50-50. 50 home runs, 50 doubles.
I don't know. I mean, that'd be cool to see him do that.
What an OPS.
He's already two home runs short.
I'm getting robbed on that. I really wish they can change that.
He's incredible. He can do anything. So maybe he does have 50 doubles. I literally pray when I pray. I pray for the health of the Yankees and that he stays healthy, because I feel like he is on a war path this year in his own mind. Like, he's off to the best start of his career, and it's like a revenge tour. It's like a little bit of a payback tour. Thanks for the call, Josh. 888-808-1019 with Judge. And I'm gonna go in on my Judge take, and then we're going to go to break. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk about the Jets. And then I'll take any calls on anything else New York sports related before we close out another KM to AM. I have said this a bunch, and this is how I feel. with all of the mocking and the memes and the laughing and the jokes and the amount of people that tried to minimize Aaron Judge, the amount of people that tried to act like because he dropped a pop-up in the World Series, he was some type of scrub or he wasn't that good, right? They, like, forgot how good this guy is. That's how he gets underrated, because people mocked him for dropping the pop-up. And all the memes and all the jokes, like, that just motivated him. Losing the World Series, being mocked, having a running mate like Juan Soto go across town and say that it's a Mets town, they have a better chance in winning. In the next 6 to 7 years, he doesn't know what the Yankees are going to be. Like, Judge heard all of that, right? Judge couldn't get in touch with the guy. Judge's first child was born. His daughter was born. He's got dad strength now. He is a father. He has entered the fatherhood club. He is the captain of the Yankees, so much so when they changed the beard policy, he said, if, and it wasn't to slight Devin Williams, but he said, if you can't shave, then, you know, maybe you don't need to be here. And then on opening day, and I've always tied these two things together, the Yankees traveling in suits like George wanted them to, because George said, when you get off that plane, you represent the New York Yankees. And we've seen the Yankees now, not for nothing, they got some fashionistas. You know, the Yankee social team does a good job showing all the outfits that these guys pull up wearing. But Judge showed up opening day in a suit, and a few guys followed suit. And I appreciated that. I think Judge is so locked this year and so dialed this year because he failed at the highest level. He failed in the World Series, and he wants to get back. There's no higher stage. There's no bigger stage. There's no greater level to fail at. He wants to get back. He's about to be 33 in 2 days, and he's not showing signs of aging or slowing down. He's actually in his prime. He's getting better. And with Gerrit Cole going down, I think he's taking even more of the onus on him. Like, all right, I got to be so focused every at bat for this team. I got to do what I got to do for this team. And I think if more guys on the Yankees looked at Judge and followed Judge and weren't in their own head so much and just watched his approach and how he, and I know they don't have the physical traits of Judge, but he's a hell of a captain. He's leading the way. He's having a ridiculous year. He's in first in so many stats. He's on pace, obviously, to win MVP again. And it's not even about the homers, man. It's just getting on base and taking what they give you and hitting the ball. And this American League, yeah, Judge can potentially carry the Yankees, and I really hope that he gets the opportunity this October to silence all the critics, all the haters, all the people that talk about his postseasons of the past. Let this be the year where Judge has an October that looks like his regular season months, and like that alone could be enough to bring the Yankees back to the World Series and win it. 888-808-1019, last call for calls when we come back. A little bit of Jets draft conversation, and I'll pull some of the conversation from my online live chat. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Thanks for listening. Not done. Last segment coming up right after this.
Your official station to talk New York Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Okay, last stretch here. I said I was going to talk about the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. So many times in history here with two football teams, it's like the Jets take all the headlines. The Jets are the LOL Jets, the laughing stock, the joke, the butt of every joke. And I mean, I guess the joke is that they have this 14-year playoff drought. But right now, I don't think Darren Mooji is joking. Right now, I don't think Aaron Glenn is joking. I think that they're working. I'm actually really interested in seeing their full draft. I'm really interested in seeing the type of guys they draft, from what schools, what type of player. You know how it'll be like, dun, 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 and then it'll give you like the guy, like, whoever it is, he'll be in this like random room and he'll have like a football and he'll be spinning it, or he'll like, you know, do the arms folded, and then it'll give you his height, his weight, you know, his 40 time, the college that he went to, and then they'll start showing you highlights. And then, I don't know, it won't be Mel Kiper. Who does the draft for these guys now? Like Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, one of them. I don't know who it will be. You know, they'll start talking about these guys, and they'll give you the background of, you know, where they went to school, and they'll give you little tidbits about their life and stuff like that. I can't wait to see what caliber players Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn draft, because there was a certain type of guy that they were looking for in Detroit. You know, they printed out hats and shirts that said grit. I think they also had shirts that said, like, salty. Like, they wanted guys that were gritty and salty. They wanted guys that felt like they were underdogs. They wanted guys that were pissed off. They wanted guys that were, like, lunch pail guys that were coming to work and, like, had a chip on their shoulder. And I think if you go that way for the Jets, it's going to work. 888-808-1019. Now, there's not that much noise around what they're going to do. The Jets hold 8 picks in this draft. And the number 7th overall pick, you know, you say, all right, you're picking that high. You don't want to pick that high. Darren Mooji was quoted. He says, I think you want to go into the draft just adding good football players that are going to help your team win now and in the future. You can't just have this narrow focus of right now. You got to look long term, but I feel good about where we're at in April. These guys are coming in blank canvas. These guys are coming in. They can do whatever here. Now, I did see a lot of mock drafts actually pop up with Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren, to me, the Penn State tight end, is the sexy pick. I say sexy pick because this kid is a freak. This kid can catch the ball. He can run the ball. He can block. And I think right away he's a guy that can score touchdowns and be an impact in the Jets offense, can help Justin Fields. I also think Armin Membu can help Justin Fields, but he's not the sexy pick, especially last year getting a Penn State guy in Olu Fashanu, a tackle, when Brock Bowers was there, and they don't go Brock Bowers, and Brock Bowers has a ridiculous year. You would think maybe there's a school of thought, and I know it's different regimes, but maybe there's a school of thought of like, hey, we can get a tackle in the second round, but you also can get a tight end in the second round. It's about what they deem and how they, you know, weigh these tight ends and tackle prospects. Maybe, you know I was talking about the kid Elijah Arroyo out of Miami. Maybe they think he's not that far off from Tyler Warren. Maybe they think that, you know, the next tackle off, you know, the board, I don't know. These tackles are going to go too. The kid Josh Simmons out of Ohio State. Now, I'm thinking of something with the Dallas Cowboys that I'm going to get to before we get out of here. With the Jets, it's either Tyler Warren, which now, like, it's been going back and forth. Like, now the mock draft on Tankathon has Tyler Warren at 7. But a lot of these other ones were saying Armin Membu. But, you know, it shifted a bit here because now Membu is supposed to go 6. Like, if he's not on the board, then maybe you do go Tyler Warren. But if he's on the board, I think they go the less sexy pick. And they take the tackle, and then they just have 2 bookend tackles, and the offensive line is good to go. 888-808-1019 for any Jets fans that want to weigh in on Tyler Warren versus Armin Membu. But Armin Membu might not be on the board. There's people thinking that Ashton Jeanty can go as high as 5 to the Jaguars. I just think that would be a stupid pick for them. I just think that they got to continue to build their team. Like, you have Tank Bigsby. You have Travis Etienne. And I know Etienne was a pick that they picked. Didn't they pick him in the second round right after they picked I think he was in the first round. He was a first-round pick, but he was late. But I think it was the year after they picked Trevor Lawrence. Trying to put those guys together. Okay, it was the same year. It was the same year. Right, because he was the 25th pick, and obviously Trevor Lawrence was 1. So many people say you don't take a running back that high. I think Jacksonville, and I got a soft spot for Jacksonville and the Jacksonville Jaguars. First NFL game I ever saw, shout out to Grandma Edie. I went down there to Alltel Stadium. I think they were pretty much giving the tickets away. It was a preseason game between the Falcons and the Jaguars. I remember being up in the very top and seeing how big that field was. And I liked the Jaguars as a kid because they were an expansion team. I think that was the summer that they were created that I was down there in Jacksonville, Florida. I used to spend summers when I was single-digit age down in Florida with my grandmother. And, you know, Jacksonville Jaguars, not for nothing. My son Jackson, I told him, he doesn't really know yet. He doesn't have a football team yet. But I'm like, man, if the Jaguars get right in these couple years, your name is Jackson, Jacksonville, and we got over 100 family members down there in Duval. We got a lot of family down there. Please don't make the mistake of taking a running back out of Boise State. I know the kid put together a great year, but he did it against Boise State, or he did it at Boise State against some random bum teams out west. And when they played in the playoffs against Penn State, he could not get off the way he was getting off. And there's so many running backs. There's a ton of running backs in this draft. There's some bigger, stronger, faster running backs in this draft than this kid. Don't make that mistake. 888-808-1019. Mistakes are going to be made. They're made every year. There's going to be somebody taken high that doesn't pan out. That's a, you know, mistake. And the Giants can't make a mistake here. That's why I think they're going to take the safe pick, Abdul Carter. Think about the DeAndre Bakers of the world. The Giants can't make a mistake here. Kadarius Toney's name has already come up. Evan Neal, Eric Flowers. The Giants have to take a player that everybody has evaluated and said, yeah, Abdul Carter. Oh, speaking of that, you know, I know people were talking about Shedeur Sanders. Even in my live chat, people were saying, hey, Shedeur Sanders. Fleeks, can we pull up the clip from Todd McShay? Todd McShay is great. I've talked about how I think Todd McShay is better than Mel Kiper. Todd McShay played quarterback at the University of Richmond. You know, I always say I should have taken my visit to the University of Richmond, but I went to JMU and didn't take any other of my visits. Mistake. But Todd McShay has been really going in on his podcast, and he's been, you know, chopping up film and analyzing and telling you all this stuff. Here's what Todd McShay had to say about Shedeur Sanders and if he's going to be a New York Giant or not.
Shedeur Sanders is not going to be a New York Giant. Shedeur Sanders is not going to be a New Orleans Saint. Okay? So let's just address that now. We said to you the week after the combine that I was surprised that other networks weren't reporting what the information that came to me so easily. Shedeur Sanders is a good young man. Shedeur Sanders has always been respectful and everything else. Some interviews didn't go well, including with the New York Giants, I'm told now. And I think what happened early in the process, there was a feeling that they could handpick. I don't think. Coach Prime came out and said it himself. I'm gonna handpick, you know, the places that my son can go play for. Well, what happens when you got a small, it's not a small pool, but it's not as big as 32 teams, and only so many teams need quarterbacks. And it just so happened that a bunch did in that top 10, six. But after the, you know, throughout the process, after the combine, some of the meetings didn't go well. I told you I talked to two executives. Didn't go well. So now the pool shrinks. And now I'm here to tell you that it didn't go well with Brian Daboll, and it didn't go well with the Giants organization. So the pool's shrinking. And now it's not a perfect fit in some places, right? New Orleans. I've talked about.
So, I mean, believe what you want to believe. Think what you want to think. And I even now have come around on this theory, too. Like, it's not a lock. It's like Abdul Carter is probably the only thing that's a lock. It's not a lock that the Giants are going to be able to get Abdul Carter and trade back into the first round and get Shedeur dropping or get Jackson Dart or even a Jalen Milroe. They might not. It takes two to tango. They might not want to dance the way that these teams want to dance. They might not want to give it up. So Giants fans that want a quarterback of the future, I see Big Mac in here. This is Big Mac's last chance. This is his last chance tonight to get on air and lobby for them to take the quarterback of the future. They might get a quarterback. They might get Tyler Shuck.
Well, no, because if they go Carter tomorrow and don't trade back up, C-Mac will be coming on tomorrow morning at midnight saying, hey, listen, with that pick in the second round, go with the quarterback. Go get your guy.
He's not done. The saga will continue. and whoever's on the board. Like, I don't expect in the second round Dart to be there. I don't expect Shador to be there. So you want Quinn Ewers. You want Jalen Milroe. I know you want somebody. And they should take some. They have to draft a quarterback in this year's draft. But, man, the way that it's shaken out, again, should have just lost to the Colts. Should have just lost to the Colts, man. Cam Ward, I heard you last night, Big Mac. And I guess Morass said it too. Like, you know what is going to be the Giants' luck? Like, Cam Ward is probably going to ball out. They just got him Tyler Lockett. You know, he's got, I'm blanking on the name, Calvin Ridley. And this guy's going to sling the ball. And then in the first year, playing in the AFC South against the Jaguars, against the Colts and the Texans, like, Cam Ward's probably, they're probably going to win more games than the Giants. Cam Ward's probably going to have a good year. And we're going to be back here in the fall talking about, see, there's another quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Now, Cam Ward, if you would have just lost those games, you could have had a quarter. And we're watching Russell Wilson get sacked. We're rooting for Jameis Winston to get into the game week four. The script writes itself, and the NFL script writers are undefeated. 888, oh, you don't have to dial a number. I've got 4 minutes left here to wrap things up. But, yeah, it is just crazy how it shakes out. As the Giants were losing games last year, we were all just sure, as a foregone conclusion, that they were going to get Shador Sanders or Cam Ward. And now all these things about Shador Sanders being entitled. And you just heard Todd McShay, all bets are off with the Giants. And I did hear something today about how John Mara is the wild card in all of this. Like, John Mara can come into the war room and be like, Shador Sanders, we're taking him. Yeah, shout out to Jordan Schultz. It was Jordan Schultz on Giants draft plans. And I just you don't know what to believe. We're hours away. Just don't rule out the Giants owner, John Mara, as a wild card. That could lead to Shador Sanders in New York. Let's break that down for a second. John Mara, who I just will forever look at John Mara and think about him coming in and being like, I'm going to lose a lot of sleep if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. Like, that will forever be John Mara. How is he coming in later on tonight to be like I'm going to lose a lot of sleep if we draft Abdul Carter and Shador Sanders goes on to win a bunch of games and be the face of the NFL? Like, I don't see John Mara coming in and punching that ticket. I don't see John Mara coming in and being like, yeah, we got to draft this kid. But also, listening to the Big Mac show, I don't see the meeting where Shane and Dable talked to John Mara and they said, all right, Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. I would have been like, you're fired. I wasn't going to fire you guys, but now that you came to me with Jameis Winston, the eat a W guy, the guy that wants to be delivered from pick sixes, the guy that does all these motivational speeches, that's not going to work here. Jameis Winston, crab legs, Jameis Winston. And wait, Russell Wilson. All right, Russell Wilson. At least we get to see Sierra, but come on, man. Now the guys can't play future in the locker room. You know about that. I don't think John Mara knows about that. But if I'm John Mara and these guys came to me and they said, well, hey, Stafford turned down the offer. He stayed. Aaron Rodgers is walking on the beach with a towel and a Apple iPhone 8 headset. We got to get better quarterbacks in here, but I don't know what we're going to do. Well, all right. Well, Jameis wants to come through because Jameis took the Fox Sports microphone down in New Orleans and hit it off at Media Day, and Fox Sports is right down the street. I've been there. Shout out to Craig. I know where Fox Sports is. There's a couple spots. They got two spots. They got the one spot right on 6th Ave. They got the other spot where Craig is. Jameis Winston's going to be on Breakfast Ball. That's why he came to New York. And then Russell Wilson and Sierra, they're socialites. They're just getting ready for the Met Gala. Russ's career is done. They're just getting ready for the Met Gala. They're showing up at the Knick game, taking selfies. How about that? I saw Ciara. She's a professional selfie taker with fans. Like with the kids, she's picking the kids up. With the guys, she's like, you know, she's like pointing and doing the peace sign and like she's got her angles right. I'm like, this chick, she gets it. What's Russ going to be? What's Jameis going to be? Probably going to be disappointing. 888-808-1019. But then that sets you up for, Arch Manning's not coming out in the draft. But there are some good quarterbacks coming out in the draft this year. But don't we love football? Don't we want to actually enjoy football? Do you want to go through another season? I think they'll compete. But ultimately, like, they got a tough-ass schedule, man. It's the NFL. Like, they got a schedule that, like, it's like, there's not that many wins. There's not that many wins in the division. There's not that many wins outside of it. They got to play the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys are about to get Teddero and McMillan. Love it when a plan comes together. I was saying that the Jets should get him. But now after all of this conversation, now after all of this smokescreen, they got Teddero and McMillan falling to 12. What? Please. Because I got nothing left with Jerry Jones. I got nothing left with Brian Schottenheimer as the head coach. I got nothing left with Dak Prescott being the highest paid. Like, please let this Teddero and McMillan kid, T-Mac, fall to the Dallas Cowboys at 12. I mean, they let CeeDee Lamb fall all the way to 17. When that happened, I'm like, it's going to happen. They actually, CeeDee Lamb, they're all passing on CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb going, so you should be a top 10 pick. The NFL draft, can't wait. I think I'm going to wear my Kenny Pickett jersey in here tomorrow. I don't really wear it. One, it's a Steelers jersey. Two, Kenny's not on the Steelers anymore. I think that'll be my fit. Last year, I wore my Mike Vick Falcons jersey because I was so pumped up about Michael Penix Jr. going to Atlanta. Yeah, I think I'll wear the Kenny P, number 8, six bird. All right, that's it, folks. No baseball. But the Knicks will be back on the floor, so obviously we'll chat about that tomorrow. And we'll know who the next newest Jet and Giant will be. Coming up next, Chris McMonagle. C-Mac, talk to these people, man. You guys dial up, get ready for his show. I'm out of here. I'll see you tomorrow. Sports Radio 101.